Thank you for sticking with me this week on God Is. And we've been learning something outstanding about the nature and character of God. God is holy. And thus far, we have focused our conversation on the holiness of God. So we've read in Isaiah chapter 6 and in the Revelation of Jesus Christ chapter 4 about the seraphim and four living creatures who constantly and incessantly worship God by singing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We saw in the Gospels that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And yesterday we spent time in the Psalms, which are absolutely flooded with proclamation and worship of who God is. He's holy. You simply cannot read the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, and not come to the same conclusion that I have. There's no doubt about it. Who is God? God is holy. And remember our definition of holy as it relates to God. The primary meaning of holy is to separate. God is separate from us because he is holy, and we are not holy because of our sin. And God is more than just separate from us. God is transcendently separate. The Lord transcends us. God's above and beyond us. He is the consuming majesty, the exalted loftiness. God's holiness means he is transcendently separate. And again, we owe our definition to theologian R.C. Sproul in his classic book, The Holiness of God. That's a little bit of review, and what I will say today builds off of this foundation. So I really, really want to encourage you to get the podcast of these broadcasts and listen to what I've already shared or listen again. You can do that this weekend by going to 590amtheword.com. At the top of the homepage, you will see the word more. If you click that, you'll see podcasts listed under there, and then you can go right into the podcast page and download God Is free of charge. It's best if you have a Bible in hand while you listen. I try to cover a good amount of content each day, so if you aren't quite getting it the first time that you hear me, please listen again. That's how we all learn, repetition. Now, today we're going to pivot a bit. We will never leave the holiness of God, but I do want to talk about being holy as it relates to you and me. And to do this, I want to take us into the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Bible begins with Genesis and then continues in Exodus, so if you have your Bible with you now, the book is easy to find, and you can turn to chapter 24 and verse 12. Genesis, then Exodus, chapter 24 and verse 12. Here we will catch up with the man of God named Moses. God has chosen Moses, out of an incredible birth and early life, to lead God's people, the Israelites. Moses is a leader. He began as a very reluctant leader, but by Exodus 24, he is in the thick of it. I've studied the life of Moses a lot in the 15 years of my own life, and my admiration for him and what I have learned from his dynamic, and I do mean dynamic, relationship with God Almighty has been truly transformational. But, as is often the case, our purpose is not a study of Moses, but rather to see what God says to him. I'm reading now Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12, and I'll be skipping around to various verses. "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and remain there.'" Verses 15 and 16. "Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud." And then, Exodus 24 and verse 18, "Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Let me pause there. How extraordinary is this? Moses is up on the holy mountain of God, and he's waiting for holy God to speak to him. And notice, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai in a cloud. Wow! The glory of holy, holy, holy God is descending as God meets with Moses. Now let's drop down to chapter 25. Exodus 25, and I will read verses 1 through 9. This is Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. This is the contribution which you are to raise from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breast piece. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. From these 9 verses, I invite you to understand the meaning of the words contribution, sanctuary, and tabernacle. The 3 key words here are contribution, sanctuary, and tabernacle. Let's start with contribution. What is that? Well, it is obvious from the context what this is. It's an offering to God. The Israelite people were invited to contribute, to give specific items to the Lord for use in his sanctuary, in his tabernacle that will be built under the supervision of Moses. Please notice that they are to give them freely and voluntarily. God honors a heart motivated by a love for him that gives willingly. Verses 3 to 7 are the list of what God invites them to give: gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skin dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and then onyx stones and setting stones for the ephod and for the breast piece. If a person has got it, they can give it. And as we read along, we see that indeed they give generously to God. And that's a good word for us today. What do you have? Will you freely and willingly give it to God? Will you give your money, your material, your time, your gifts and talents? Really, will you give your whole life to God? Well, this is the contribution. And the next key word is the word sanctuary. Listen again to Exodus 25 and verse 8. Let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. What is the sanctuary? The sanctuary is the holy place. Listen, it is set apart. It is separate. That fits with our definition of God's holiness. God is transcendently separate. And now he wants to have his people build for him a sanctuary, a holy place. And then our third word is tabernacle. What is the tabernacle? It's the name of the separate holy place. It comes from the word meaning to dwell. And it's a transportable tent. But it's no ordinary tent. It's holy, separate, and the sanctuary. It's God's tabernacle. The reason it is movable is that God's people, the Israelites, are going to be on the move, marching through the wilderness for a very long time. And it is here, in the tabernacle, that holy God will meet with his people. But first, the tabernacle has to be constructed. It has to be built. Listen again to verse 9. Exodus 25 and verse 9 says, "According to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." God is plain spoken. He will tell Moses exactly how to construct this tabernacle. I am going to show you. It doesn't get any easier to understand than that. God says, I'll give you the pattern, and then you follow it, Moses. And this is how God speaks to us also. He tells us what he wants us to do. He commands us exactly how he wants us to live. It's not a mystery. If we will commit ourselves to read the Bible, some portion of the text each day, and do what God says to do, we will find that he speaks with clarity. The Bible is remarkable in that its message is easy to understand. Even children, especially children, can know what it means. The hard part isn't actually obeying God. I'll grant you that. Sin gives us a hard and continual tug in the direction of disobedience. But again, that's not because God has not told us who he wants us to be. The 3 key words in Exodus 25, verses 1 through 9 are contribution, sanctuary, and tabernacle. And now we understand what they mean. And here's what you can do this weekend. Read the remainder of Exodus 25, and you'll read about the instructions God gives for the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, and the Golden Lampstand. If you continue reading into Exodus 26, then you read about the detail of the curtains, boards and sockets, and the very important veil and screen. Do not assume this is boring. It's all crucial to our knowledge of who God is, and all of it speaks to the holiness of God and relates to our holiness as well. God is holy, and God expects each one of us to also be holy. But the only way that any of us can be made holy is if Jesus Christ forgives us of our sin. Each of us, myself included, yourself included, are sinners through and through. We are not holy people. But thanks be to God, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, who lived a perfect, holy life, died on the cross, and resurrected from the dead. Why? So that all of us who put our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone will be forgiven of our sins, and we will be made holy by Jesus, such that we can live holy lives here on earth. And of course, then, because of what Christ has done for us, we will live holy lives in heaven forever, worshiping God together. I do not care how sinful your life has been. What I care about is that you put your faith alone, put your full belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will forgive you of all your sin. As awful as your sin has been, Christ will forgive every one of your past sins, current sins, and future sins. This is what the Bible teaches us. So please, if you'd like to know more about Jesus Christ, send me an email this weekend and let me know. I will pray for you and send you some helpful literature that's easy to read. And then make sure you come back on Monday and join me for more of God Is.